This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com, or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
It is 27 minutes to five.
Now, the first AIDS diagnosis in Australia was in 1982, and the first antiretroviral drugs for HIV infection became available in 1987 and were initially used as monotherapy and then as dual therapy from 1992. And the introduction of antiretroviral therapy led to a decline in AIDS and AIDS-related deaths. Yet by the end of 2009, there'd been over 10,000 diagnoses of AIDS and 6,776 deaths. Well, today is World AIDS Day, and today where we reflect on how far we've come in managing HIV, as well as remembering those whose lives were lost in a climate of fear, stigma, and prejudice. And the Peter Doherty Institute for Infection and Immunity has been at the forefront of HIV research, and today on Joy Drive, we thought we'd check in to see where we're at with HIV research and what's in the pipeline in terms of new treatments. Gillian Lau is a researcher at the Doherty Institute and an infectious diseases doctor at the Alfred Hospital. Gillian, welcome to Joy Drive.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Gillian, as someone who works closely with HIV on a day-to-day basis, what does World AIDS Day mean to you?
I think this is a great day for everyone to come together, the community, researchers, doctors, to talk about HIV, just to remember and reflect, as you used those words, Warren, the journey that we've gone through with HIV and reflect and reminisce on those who we've lost to AIDS and other HIV-associated complications. I think World AIDS Day is always a great opportunity to talk about HIV to a broader audience and talk about HIV testing, looking about your own risk of HIV and what you can do to protect yourself from catching HIV. And for those who live with HIV, how do you maintain a good, healthy and happy life?
Absolutely. Gillian, we have mentioned thus far, you know, there have been changes in research and in treatment. And actually, there's also been some, I guess, improvements or, you know, ease of testing available for HIV as well, isn't there?
Yes, yes, we've come a long, long way from, you know, we talked about when HIV was first discovered, the first diagnosis in Australia. It took years for treatment to come, but not long after the virus was identified, the tests to identify and say someone has HIV came not long after. You know, self-testing is available now, and you know, there are vending machines where you can get a HIV self-test, do an anonymous test at home, or rapid same-day testing available at certain centres such as Pronto here in Victoria. So I think resources for testing is certainly available, and the barriers to testing, I guess the physical or practical barriers are not there anymore, but there's obviously still things like stigma and challenges around discrimination, which we need to think about when it comes to testing.
Jill, when we talk about treatments and particularly developments in treatments for HIV, what sort of new drugs are in the pipeline? And has COVID and I suppose the monkeypox impacted the development of HIV treatments?
Yeah, I think as a researcher working in the space, as well as an infection doctor, COVID and monkeypox really diverted a lot of energy, resources, personnel from the true research or their primary research. But I wanted to use this opportunity to say that HIV research has still happened despite all the research that's happened in COVID and monkeypox as well. So we've come leaps and bounds in terms of HIV treatment. There used to be a handful of pills that needed to be taken, and combination therapy has now been simplified to a single pill a day for many people. The number of drugs within these fixed dose combination pills have reduced, so they're less toxic than they were years or decades ago. And now we're really at the forefront amount of long-acting injectable HIV treatment, which is revolutionary. These drugs are approved and PBS, or Pharmaceutical Benefit Scheme, listed in Australia. And now, you know, studies are being looked at for other formulations of long-acting injectables, new novel mechanisms of treating HIV, and also long-acting injectable therapy in HIV prevention or pre-exposure prophylaxis PrEP.
So in terms of long-acting injectable HIV therapy, I assume, how long does it last and how often does someone have to have the injections?
Yep, so at the moment there's one long-acting injectable licensed drug and approved here in Australia. It's a two-monthly injection, so two injections in the side of the bottom every 2 months, which is, you know, very different from a one pill a day. And it would still require the same sort of monitoring that someone with HIV would have with daily tablet treatment. But it's, you know, you can go on holidays potentially without having to think about traveling with medications, not having to have the pill rattle, a term I've heard this morning. So I think for the right person, it could totally revolutionize how living with HIV could be.
Just on that, in terms of the long-acting injectables, are they applicable to anyone who has HIV? So what if someone's had, I suppose, a history of HIV, they've, you know, maybe they were exposed to monotherapy in the early days and they have maybe a resistance profile, can they also access this or does it really depend on the individual?
Yeah, it certainly does depend on the individual, Warren. The resistance profile of the virus is certainly something we would consider. One of the components of the new long-acting agent is a newer class of drug called integrase inhibitors. And there, I guess, the barrier for resistance or the chance of virus being resistant to it is lower because they're newer drugs, but it's still something to be considered. But if you're interested in long-acting therapy or even just asking more about it, definitely have a chat to your doctor or, you know, some of the peer navigators in the space, because there's a lot of chat and activity about it. And there's more coming. You know, I think there's trials for six-monthly injectable PrEP rather than two-monthly, so that the world for PrEP as well as for treatment. So,
we're chatting with Gillian Lau, researcher at the Doherty Institute and an infectious disease doctor at the Alfred Hospital, about new treatments and vaccines as well as what's in the pipeline for HIV treatment. Gillian, speaking of, vaccination is certainly a word that I think we're all very, very familiar with. Mm. Is there any sort of developments in terms of a HIV vaccination?
So we've been, by we, I mean researchers have been looking for a vaccine to prevent HIV for 40 years, and that hasn't been successful. But there's two different types of vaccine research in the HIV world. There's preventative vaccines that we might think about, say, with monkeypox and COVID, but also therapeutic vaccines, which stimulate the body's immune system to detect and clear HIV better. There haven't been major advances in either preventative or treatment vaccines, unfortunately, but I think we're really fascinated to watch this space, the amount of technological gains we've learned from COVID, for example, the mRNA technology with COVID certainly will lend itself in the HIV space. So I think this is a watch this space story, but we're not quite there. There's been no major advances with vaccine developments with HIV at the moment.
Just on that, vaccines, if we look at, say, therapeutic vaccines, and you mentioned stimulating the body's immune response to fight HIV, could that potentially lead to a cure? And just on that, where are we at with HIV cure research?
Yep, so that's exactly what the therapeutic vaccines would be trying to do. So HIV cure research is really aiming to try to either eliminate HIV entirely from the body or form some form of system where the body is able to suppress virus without the need to take a daily tablet or an injection, for example. So whether that's by stimulating immune responses or engineering cells that are resistant to HIV, these are some of the strategies that are being investigated at the moment for HIV cure. We're not quite close to HIV cure yet. As a proof of concept, it's doable. There's been five people in the world so far who have been cured from HIV by having quite risky procedures, stem cell transplants, and basically, you know, giving them a new immune system that is resistant to certain strains of HIV. This is not something that we can do in people who have HIV who don't have cancer, which is why we normally would do a stem cell transplant. But as a proof of concept, it can be done. And science is currently looking at ways that we can mimic strategies in that process to, like I said, either engineer cells that are resistant or stimulate our immune system to clear the virus more effectively. So, HIV cure is something that I'm very passionate about, where my research is focused, and at the Doherty and at the Alfred Hospital where I work, we're running HIV cure clinical trials coming up in the new year to try and understand these processes a bit better, but also looking at different agents to try and achieve this.
Jillian, fantastic work, really, especially on World AIDS Day. We really want to say thank you personally for all that you do. And what about women and HIV? The Alfred has a focus on that as well, don't you?
Yes, well, it's actually a World AIDS event today at the Alfred Hospital. It's a whole day community event run in conjunction with Living Positive Victoria. And the theme today was on women and HIV. I was in a panel this morning about women in with HIV in research. And, you know, worldwide, over 50% of the people living with HIV in the world are women, but that number is only about 12% in Australia just because of the demographics of our epidemic. But I think we really need to work harder as researchers to acknowledge that women are not visible in our results of clinical trials or testing new drugs or in PrEP. You know, the vast overrepresentation worldwide, not just in Australia, of men in research, and we need to make sure that our research reflects the worldwide demographic so that treatment, prevention, cure strategies, these are reflective of the whole worldwide population of people living with HIV, not just what's around our corner.
Jillian, thank you so much for all the work you do and for joining us on Joy Drive today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Dr. Jillian Lau, researcher at the Doherty Institute and an infectious diseases doctor at the Alfred Hospital.
The best bits of Joy Drive with Em and Warren. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.